The title of the sermon today is Endure in Hope, Rejoice in Hope. And the reason that I'm bringing it is so that we can have some encouragement in our journey to the kingdom. There's some very important things along the way that I think will be very helpful to each one of us. I began to realize that hope is one of those strong spiritual elements that we all need, and it's in fact very prominent in the scriptures and one of the things that can help be the foundation of our own spiritual growth. The biblical narrative of Abraham and Sarah begins with a few notes on family lineage and circumstances, and at first it might seem not full of consequential information, but if you begin to look at it, you realize there's a lot there even before Abraham is officially introduced. We realize that he's with a family that has moved from their home area to a different area. His father and his mother and, I mean, his mother, his wife and his cousins, his relatives as well, moving, an entourage of people moving to a different area. And among the things we learn is that Abram's wife is barren. And that's an important element in the story, because then when we get to chapter 12 of Genesis, if you'd like to start here, I want to start with the story of Abraham and Sarah, because we find in this story some of the most important lessons in all of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament combined. This story that we're about to review again is so important that it touches almost every one of us every day. In Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3, it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation." We begin to see here a series of promises that God was giving to Abram and to his family as well that would descend from him. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now that starts out with several very significant promises as Abraham's journey toward the kingdom begins to unfold in the scriptures for us. In verse 7 it says, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land." And already we learned back in chapter 11 that his wife was barren. And so this was a promise to an older couple. As you know the story, an older couple without a child. And yet the promise was, to your descendants, I will give this land. And a very, very blessed and promising kind of thing for God to do. It's the promises, brethren, it's the promises that I want to draw our attention to and to the powerful effect that these promises had on Abraham. Because those promises were from the beginning of this narrative, and then as time goes on, God reiterated and added significant elements to those promises as well. Turn, for instance, to Genesis 22, and beginning in verse 15, we read this. "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham," by this time his name had been changed, "a second time out of heaven, and said, by myself I have sworn, said the Lord, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son." And this is one of Abraham's, it was his most difficult test of his life. And you know the story, and you can read that in chapter 22, of the sacrifice of Isaac and how God intervened at the last minute and provided a ram for that sacrifice. And this is something that in all the scriptures is one of the most important stories of man's relationship with God. And God said in verse 16, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants
as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies.
In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed.
And that verse is quoted in the book of Galatians and directly related that to Christ. In your seed, and we can see from looking at it from our perspective, it's referring to those many generations later when the Messiah would be born into Abraham's family. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And so from this event and the promises given, all of us and everyone eventually will be blessed by what happened on that day. This is one of those most significant things in all of the verses of Scripture, and it leads us to the point of the sermon today, and that is to help us to see and receive one of the strong spiritual elements that helped Abraham along his journey. We can see that by turning to other areas of Scripture that take this story up and give us some more details as well. There are many such places, but let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll pick it up here in verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. He wanted Abraham to know that this was true and it was going to happen and nothing could stop it from happening. In saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, and I want to pick that point out too, because I titled, the first part of the title is Endure in Hope. We're going to come in this section to that hope of Abraham and why that hope was so important. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, and now he expands it out, it's not just to Abraham that he wants to show this, but now to the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel. That is, that it was unchangeable, that it would definitely happen, that what he promised would come to pass. And he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable or unchanging, unwavering things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. Notice the strength of the wording here is so positive, so sure, so filled with truth, that we might have strong consolation, that we, and now the attention is drawn to us. It starts about Abraham, but it's focusing now on you and me, that we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. It's that hope that is the spiritual element that I want to talk about, and I want to show where it comes from and how Abraham was able to have the kind of hope that he did. It says in verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. It is something that just, it's like our foundation. It keeps us from drifting away, both sure and steadfast. And just as it was sure and steadfast and immutable, and God could not lie when he told Abraham, it is the same for us. Which we have this anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. That is speaking of Christ, who was that seed in whom all the earth, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And now we are brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ, who enters that presence behind the veil in the aspect of having hope. You and I have hope because of that, for where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So this brings me then to the purpose again. I want to focus in on this. I want to consider today how God gives us hope, in order that one day we will also receive his promise in full measure. There's a strong connection between faith and hope, but these are distinct elements of God's spiritual work in us. They're not one and the same, but as a friend of mine wrote to me this morning, he said, these are close cousins. You know me well, and you know I like to fish, and so I talk about spiritual things with my fishing buddy, and he's a faithful man as well, and he was asking about the message today, and I mentioned a little bit, and so he said something that helped me to focus as well. He said, I hope to catch a big fish, but by faith, I prepare my gear and go out and fish. And so notice how this works when you see it in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We hope for things, and then we have faith in them, and we have faith in seeking them, for the evidence of things not seen. We're going to see this develop in relation to Abraham, because by using his example, we can see very clearly how God is using something powerful to give hope to Abraham. And we have access to that as well. And this whole chapter, then, is about people of faith, and their faith is the substance of things hoped for, that they hope for. And brethren, we also hope for the same things. Let's turn and look back in Genesis. I want to show something, and then we're going to move to the book of Romans. We're going to stay with the story of Abraham, but I want to show you in the scripture some of the connections that are there. In Genesis 15, in verses 1 through 6, what I like to do sometimes is take the time to look at the details and build step by step by step toward a conclusion. And that's what I'm doing today, so that along the way we can see the details, we see how it all comes together, and at the end we see the value of it even more clearly. In Genesis 15, verse 1 through 6, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? He at this time had known of the promise, and now, some apparently years later, he's asking God. And it wasn't in disbelief, because it says that he believed God. And so he's asking from a different point of view. Then Abram said, Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And then he brought him outside and said, Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And that's a lot. That's more than any person could count. And he believed in the Lord. See, he believed. There was no doubting here. He believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And this was part of Abraham's walk toward the end of his journey, toward the promise of the kingdom to come. But let's put more of the details together. Let's turn now to the book of Romans, because the Apostle Paul was inspired to write of the same account, different aspects of it. In Romans chapter 4, and verse 3, For what does the scripture say? This is so good because it refers us back to areas we just read, and there are more chapters in Genesis that could apply to. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. A big lesson is being taught to us by what Abraham did and what God did in him and through him. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Not as a free gift of God, but as something earned and a wage brought of, like a bill that's owed. In verse 13, it says, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Notice that part of this is the promise. And Abraham first received the promises of God, and he believed them. And in believing them, he took the steps forward on his sojourn. And what a life he had. In verse 16, it says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. The promise is sure to us too. And I want us to be able to see that those promises made to Abraham also apply to us. And many of them are very directly related back to Abraham and what God said he would do to his through his family. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, not only to those who by lineage are descendants of Abraham, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And we today, wherever we're from in our own genealogies, when God has called us, we can be part of what is called the church, which is the children of Abraham. And other verses that will show this. But it's building to a point, and we begin to see this in verse 17 and 18. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things to which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, I want us to see the kind of hope that Abraham had, because we need that hope too. And it's available to us, and we can have that kind of hope. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And all the world has been blessed by him, and especially in the blessing of the Savior Jesus Christ, who came, that seed of Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believe. And Abraham, by the time this promise was granted to him, was 100 years old, and he knew, and his wife being old too, and past the years of childbirth, knew that there was no physical hope that they could be the parents of a child. And contrary to hope, they believed in hope. And God kept the promise that he had given to them. And he's extended that promise from generation to generation down, even now to our day. In verse 20 and 21, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And part of what I hope to do is to help strengthen your faith too, by looking at these verses and the scriptures and God's word with his spirit enlightening each of us, we may be able to be strengthened too. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And God is able to perform all of those promises that he gave and the ones that he has given to us. Jesus once was talking about Abraham, and he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad, because he was in the promise of seeing into the future, He was very glad for what he saw. It's a very great story, isn't it? We can read this story, we can be inspired, and much more could be said about it. But it's also written for us. It's more than just a story that inspires us about looking back and saying, that was really good. There's a lesson for us, something that we can use and we need in our lives to move forward. And we see this in verse 23 through 25. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. I'm sure when Abraham is raised and he reads what was written of him, he will be honored by that in a way, humbled, honored. It was not written for his sake alone. I think one day he will read these words, that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It's written for us to see that we too can have that same kind of hope as Abraham. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. This comes back to that promise given to Abraham that in his seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. We're speaking of that right here, what Christ, that seed, has given and is giving to all of us as well. In Romans 5, as we build toward this important lesson, we can see in verse 1 and 2, it goes forward. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith. We have access to the same strength and faith that Abraham had. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access to that faith, the hope, the glory, the rejoicing, to all of the good things that God gave Abraham and that sustained him through his journey. Verse 3 and 4, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. And this is why I wanted to bring this topic today. When we have members in our congregation who come to the last days of their life and they go through their own things as they await with eagerness and with the joy set before them and with that hope that is unwavering and that faith that is in full assurance. And when you get to talk to people who are experiencing these things more than any of us have so far, they understand them deeper than I do. But when you see that they are still holding fast to all of those good things, it really makes an impact. And that not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Many of us are going through those tribulations in our lives, or have. And so there are times when things are not so good for us. There were times when it seemed bad for Abraham, and yet he didn't give up, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance. And so there's this progression. As God first gives us promises, the promises give us hope. The hope builds our faith, and we can live this way no matter what comes. And perseverance builds character, and character hope. And it's everything that we need in order for those promises to be given and kept in our lives. And it says, now hope does not disappoint, not this kind of hope. This is the kind of hope that rises far above the common hope of the world around us. This is not the kind of hope where I hope for whatever thing in a physical sense. This is hope for the promises that God has given to be kept and given to us. For Abraham, it was the hope of a son to be born, and for that son to have sons and daughters, and for generations to come until there were so many you couldn't count, like the stars of the heaven. And one of them would be that seed. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. And so this kind of hope comes through the Holy Spirit. This is such a quality of spiritual hope that it is directly from the love of God being poured out in our hearts by His Spirit. Brother, this passage is one of several that teaches us that we can have that spiritual growth and the value of our own tribulations. When we go through things that are hard, good things can happen, good things can come, and good things will come because God has promised them. We need this kind of hope. We need the kind that comes from God as a gift that all believers have access to, and that rises so far above anything around us in the world. But how is this hope described in the scriptures? There are many areas. I chose a couple here. In 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. It's alive. It's something that's vibrant and wholesome and moving forward and never dies. It's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's so much here to appreciate and to understand that God has given to us. To verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, to that promised kingdom to come, to that city that has foundations, the city that Abraham and others saw, and they were so filled with hope and faith that they embraced those promises and devoted their lives to seeking them. It's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. In Colossians chapter 1, in all the verses I'm turning to, it's not that I just found the word hope in them and decided to include them. It's because there is an important lesson, and I'm trying to put it in a sequence of progression that will show us the things that will help us in our calling too. In Colossians 1, verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the kind of hope that comes to us only when Christ is in us. When we have that Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and Christ is in us as he said he would be, the Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is something for his saints. This is for his church. This is for his body. And those are verses you can see right above this when he's speaking and defining those that he's referring to. In 1 Timothy 1, it brings it into clarity here very, very well. In 1 Timothy 1, when Paul is writing to young Timothy, he starts out with this important statement. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. We could focus that element down to the Lord Jesus Christ, and know in our hearts and in our mind, and when we hear it, when we think of Christ, we could know that we're thinking of everything about him that gives us that hope, about the gospel of the kingdom of God, about compassion and forgiveness and love, about all of those things of Christ about the glory to come, about what he prayed for just before he was crucified, about what he did for us, about the fact that he was raised from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. This is how the hope is described. But what effect does hope have on people of God who have it? What is the effect in our life? It's a remarkable story, and I'm going to depart from the story of Abraham to go back to something we find in the book of Jeremiah. When God's people, after many years of turning from him, and this was one of those occurrences when, after he gave them so much time to overcome and to turn away from their sins, and it came to the point where he then needed to punished his people to help them in the future to turn back to him. And we see this developing in Jeremiah. In chapter 29, there's a verse here that some of you tell me is your favorite verse in all the scriptures. Well, let's look and see some of the context and how valid that can be for them, but also for us. In Jeremiah 29 is talking about the time when God's people were in captivity and exile in Babylon. And pick up a little bit of the context in verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. In verse 4, then we pick up some of the words that he was given to tell them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses. He said, live your life. Don't just give up and wither away. He tells his people to get busy and live. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. So God had a plan for them even while they were in exile. They were going through their tribulations, if you will. And it extended for 70 years. Look in verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years, now we come to a promise. We see how hope is built on promises. After 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. Now, there's a promise of God with a date on it, 70 years. So get busy, do all these things, grow, increase. I'll be back in 70 years and we'll move you forward. He says in verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You see how he gave them that future and the hope? He promised them, I will do this in 70 years. I will do this. Well, let's see then how he fulfilled that promise. In verse 14, though, he says, to clarify even more, verse 14, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. A very good promise, very specific as well. But now let's turn back to the book of Ezra, and we'll see what happened those 70 years later. And we can see that God keeps his promises. He's very faithful to this, and he records these things throughout the scriptures. In Ezra 1, verse 1 through 3, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. It's referring back to what we just read. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all of the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, And he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea, in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? May his God be with him. Now let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And see that, and you can follow the rest of the book of Ezra out, and you see that the promise was kept. God gives us promises too. And you might just think sometime, just take the time to meditate on it. What are the promises God has given to you? He gives us promises. He's offering us a future and a hope. And it's more than just a promise of the kingdom to come. Let me say that again. It's more than just the promise of the kingdom to come. We have the promise of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we have that promise now when we have God's Holy Spirit. And we can, in hope and faith, walk forward in our journeys. We can rejoice in that hope now, even when we have tribulations. We can endure in hope until the promises are fulfilled. Again, what is the source of this hope? We've touched on it already. There's some very clear verses. There's one in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The source of this hope. Because this is where we go. If you need hope, this is where to go get it. And it can be had. It can be attained. It can be abounded in and increased. 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 16, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. He's given us everlasting consolation and good hope. Our comfort comes from our Father and from Jesus Christ, who give us that hope. It says, who has loved us. That hope is given by some, by our God and by our Lord who love us. It's an everlasting hope because it will never fade away and it will come to pass. So we very much need that comforting and good hope. When we are facing the great trials of our life, no matter what they are, we need to have that hope for a better future. And sometimes it's a hope that I will get well and be up out of this bed. And sometimes it's a hope that this trial will end and life can be back to normal. And sometimes it's a hope that in my dying, I can die in faith. And there are many different degrees of this. When you see people, I want to just open a little bit. As a minister, you sometimes are in situations that are very special. And you see someone, and you just wish that you had the same faith that they do. When you see that at the end of our life, that someone who has this kind of hope and faith that comes from Jesus Christ and from God our Father, that they are settled and not afraid and eagerly waiting and anticipating the glory that will be given to them. It's amazing, special things sometimes. And we read of this in Scripture. In Romans chapter 8, a very familiar section for us. In Romans 8, in verse 18, it says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so we have the hope of that glory. And nothing that happens can be compared with it. Nothing can deter us from having what God said he will give to us. In verse 23 and 24, and not only they, not only the creation, not only others around us, but not only they, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved in this hope. We are saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, because we don't instantly have that glorified body. We don't instantly see the results of all the promises of God yet. We hope for them, and we know they will be there, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes an intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And again, when you're with someone who understands the depth of these words in a way that I cannot, because I have not yet experienced what they are going through, but you see the Holy Spirit of God working in someone, and you hear the prayers of groans and know that those prayers are being heard. And you know that hope is there and promises will be kept. And it's quite a blessing, brethren, to see that kind of conversion in people. It gives me encouragement. It gives me hope. In verse 26, it says, we read that, let's go to 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Because how do we know it's going to work for good? Because God is in charge, because he said, I will do this. I promise I will do it. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And one day that full glory will be given to all who have that hope. Do you have that kind of hope? I believe you do. I believe I could say, of course you do. Of course. How does that hope come to us? Romans 15, verse 4 shows us one way. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so we have the scriptures. This is one of the sources of this hope. We have the scriptures. I want to read it again. For whatever things were written before, the things about Abraham, the things about Isaac and Jacob, Sarah and Ruth, and all the other faithful ones, all the other things that are written too that shows us the ways not to go and the things not to do. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So this is where we go. In verse 12 to 13. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, And again, our attention is drawn toward that seed of Abraham, here called the root of Jesse. And he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. People of all races, of all the world, they shall hope in him. We especially look to Christ and to God directly when we want and need hope. They want us to abound in hope. Verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we see that the other source of this hope is through the Holy Spirit that God gives to us. As we conclude this topic today, and there's so much more, brethren, we could read of the things that Christ said about hope. We could read of the things David said, and Job, and many others, and Paul, he says, for the hope of the resurrection. We could read so many things, but I want to turn back and close with what we learned already about Abraham, to put a bookend on this end of the message as well. Because we learned this lesson first through the story of Abraham, and if we can conclude with that, we can see it even better. In Hebrews 11 and verse 13, this chapter, as we know, is not only about Abraham, but many others. And it says in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And notice how it goes back to the promises. The promises were given, and in those promises, the faithful people gained hope. And in their hope, their faith was founded, and they stepped forward on their journeys. It's a very beautiful thing that God is doing. But it wasn't just for them. It's also for us. And so we look at the end of this chapter, verse 39 and 40, and it ties it back up together for you and for me. And all these faithful people, amazing lives and stories that we can read in the scriptures and be comforted by them, all these who had the Spirit of God and therefore the comfort and the hope that comes from him, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Brethren, these are such powerful words for us. And so I always like to end with something really practical and say, therefore, how shall we be? What shall we do? And we find this in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We can rest our hope on that. Everything about, we can rest our faith on that hope. We can believe with all our heart. Verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. He gives us a way to live, just as he called Abraham and gave him a way to live, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear. Just as Abraham sojourned, we also are, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And our faith and hope indeed are in God. And brethren, hope is a very powerful spiritual element, and God gives us full access to it through his word, through his spirit, and by his promises.